Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 43 of the Geocaching Podcast. We're going to be talking about new GPSRs today and the tricks with them. I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. We do this show live, and sometimes there's technical difficulties. TalkShoe today released a new features in their clients where you don't actually have to download any client here. You can just go ahead and log on with the web, which is really easy because you don't even need to sign up for anything on TalkShoe. You can just join our call really easily by going to geocachingpodcast.info and click the Live Now button. But we noticed that there's some features because right before the show, everyone was logged in and then everyone got logged out. So if you're listening and you're having trouble, go ahead and go to the classic version right now and you'll still be able to get on with this. So I want to, I want to welcome everybody and make sure you guys check out our show notes website at geocachingpodcast.info. Today's host with me is Daryl W. Four. Welcome back to the podcast, Daryl.
Hey, good to be back as a co-host and not as a guest this time.
It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It has.
I want to just kind of mention, since you took a few weeks off and Monty Ryder was the co-host for those couple weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be changing the co-host situation a little bit. We're going to do probably every other week. Monty Ryder and Daryl W. Four. So that's what you can kind of expect for our co-hosting situation. What have you been up to, Daryl, since we've not talked for a while?
Well, my entire weekend was spent on podcast projects, which wasn't bad since it was a nasty weekend. But it's been crazy with the coins coming out and trying to play catch up because it's, with all the stuff going on over the holidays. It's just kind of tough. How about you?
Yeah. Oh, not much. I really wanted to get out and go caching with my new GPS, but also with this weather that's been incredible. I think we had like almost 60 degrees today, and we took a walk the other night because it was so nice out, but it's been raining. So it's not. By the time I get home, it's kind of overcast and dark, and not really. For me, geocaching weather and the rain with the kids, anyways. So really, there's not been much going on with me as far as at least in the geocaching scene. But it's been nice. I've enjoyed the being able to put my window down in the car. It's been kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your new GPS, and of course, because you got one, Garmin had to go and release the new unit to make yours obsolete.
Hey, that's all right. I'm still really enjoying all the new features, so that's really okay.
Yeah, it's still a nice unit, but a lot less expensive, too. You take a look at these new price tags, and you'll make it fall over.
Yeah, that's I have noticed that on the show notes here that you've done. It's been, they're pretty pricey.
They are, but it looks like they're going to be worth it. And, you have to remember, too, when, the 60 CSX came out, the pricing wasn't too terribly different.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see these prices come down. But that's our topic tonight, is the new GPSRs that are coming out. And so, Daryl, why don't you kick us off with Garmin's new Colorado line?
All right. Well, as most of you have probably heard, Garmin released the Colorado line at actually before the CES show this year. And they had a whole bunch of GPSs that they announced as well, but these are the outdoor new releases, and they're pretty cool. The initial offering only has four options, which is the 300, the 400C, the 400i, and the 400T. Now, looking at the specs, they're all pretty much the same thing. The difference is that the 300, which has a list price of $499 US, is worldwide base maps only. The 400C, which is $599, along with all the other 400 units, comes preloaded with the blue chart, which is for the nautical navigation guys, the guys who are going down East Coast or West Coast or something like that. So if you're into boating kind of stuff, that's one that you'd look at. And then the 400i is one of the other ones you'd look at, which is for those of us on inland lakes, so Great Lakes and whatnot, that's probably the one that you'd want to get. Now for us geocachers, though, the 400T is what we're looking at, and that comes preloaded with topographic maps for the entire U.S.
That's nice.
That is very nice. So no more changing out of cards and whatnot. You've got the whole thing right there. Now, what I haven't been able to find is what the detail level is of those topo maps. And I think from what I'm seeing, that there's a good chance it's different topo maps than anything that we've seen before. Because one of the cool things about these units is they're actually doing like 3D shading and 3D views. So when you look down a canyon with your unit in its 3D mode, it looks like you're looking down a canyon. So, pretty cool. I don't think it's a mode that I'd want to use. But even in its, flat mode, they're doing shading for the contours, which looks really, really nice.
Now, you went ahead and bought one of these units, didn't you?
Well, I put in my pre-order, and as of last night when I checked, the guys at GPS City were predicting a Valentine's Day shipment on that. So I don't know if that's going to hold true or not. But even REI is calling for February 11th, which is a lot more robust a delivery schedule than I'm used to out of Garmin.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hope they keep that up.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Andy, did you want to go into some of the specs a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to. All of these units support SD cards, plus the 384 meg that are built in. All of them also include an electronic compass and barometric altimeter. It's a 3-inch unit. It's 1.53 width by 2.55 height, and it's got a 240 by 400 transflective color screen. And the units weigh in only 7.3 ounces when they have 15 hours of battery life from just two AA batteries. And they can take either alkaline or the, however you say that again, Daryl, how do you say that? The
NIMS. Yeah.
All right. I get confused. They are 2.4 by 5.5 by 1.4, which is versus the 60 CSX that's 2.4 by 6.1 by 1.3. And now one of the coolest things that I'm waiting to see how, when you get your unit, how this is working and what you think of it, but they have a rock and roller, which is controlled for one-hand guided operation. So you can do all of your stuff that you want to do one-handed with this rock and roll controller thing. Now, one of the coolest things that we're seeing with the Garmin Colorados is the wireless transfer of waypoints, tracks, routes, and even geocaches between Colorado units. So you're going to need to have two Colorado units to do that, the wireless transfer, but that's a pretty cool thing in the field. If you and your friend both have one, you can transfer the waypoints and geocaches and stuff like that between your two units. Now, they all have USB connectivity, but there's no serial connectivity. They all have 1,000 waypoints and 50 routes, and they also have a new paperless caching mode, which allows for the GPX files to be uploaded right to the unit. Daryl, do you know much more about that? Have you taken a look at about that?
Well, I've seen the screenshot, and I'm sure we'll put the screenshot in the show notes here. It's actually listed under the 400i, though, for those of you who want to go check it out right now. And it is a pretty cool-looking paperless caching mode. It has the stars for the terrain ratings and the difficulty ratings, a nice long description of what's going on. But I haven't been able to find out how you actually load the GPX files, if you have to go through some intermediate software or if it loads in directly. But regardless, the paperless caching in this unit really looks stellar, and it looks like something that could very easily replace that Palm in CacheMate or your pocket PC device, whatever you want to use, and get down to a pretty much all-in-one device.
And now, one of the things that Garmin announced just the week before CES was their new Where I Go game. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the
show.
That's
actually a Groundspeak, not Garmin.
Did I say Garmin?
Yeah, you mentioned
I'm sorry,
Garmin.
Guys. Yes. Groundspeak's new Wear I Go game that they released. We'll talk a little bit about that further on in the show. But it has native support for that. It has a picture viewer, and it you can also buy speed or cadence sensors for your bike or a heart rate monitor that goes right into the GPS. So it really is an all-in-one device for geocaching and for any sport-type people or boating people. It really is an all-in-one, almost that all-in-one device that we've all always been looking for.
Well, and one of the nice things about that speed cadence sensor and the heart rate monitor is that they're both wireless as well. So reading that and some of the information behind it, I'm thinking that this is going to be like some of their other wireless products, which are in the 2.4 gigahertz range. Mm-hmm. Very nice, very robust. However, don't put it near Wi-Fi. They've had a lot of problems with some of those at some of the bike shops that I go to with the Wi-Fi knocking out the signal and nothing talks to each other.
That's
but
not good.
It does, from what I understand, with the wireless transfer of waypoints, tracks, routes, that kind of stuff, it does give you the ability to broadcast to a group of people at the same time. So think about this for some kind of big caching event. Rather than sitting there with a cable and loading each GPS individually, you could theoretically blast your geocaches for the event to everyone's Colorados at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Now, do you want to talk a little bit about the Wear I Go and what it is?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know a whole lot about it, but basically it's a new game with a completely different mode of gameplay than what we're used to with geocaching. And the Groundspeak platform that they've created for Wear I Go is actually creating a like what I'm used to from a MUD, a multi-user dimensional game, that you go around and hit these points, and when you get to that point, it has feedback. One of the things that really excites me about this prospect is things like historical tours. And you know, you think about what I wanted to do originally with the patio books, this looks like it's going to be the answer, because from what I understand, it looks like you might even be able to trigger that audio. Do you know much more about it than that?
I don't know much more about it. From what I did look at the website way back when it was in beta, before they decided to do much with it. And it seems like, yeah, like you said, it's kind of like a role-playing game where you can go and exchange. You can pick up certain like elements and certain features. Like if you may get to a point where it triggers something and it will tell you have these options to pick up, and you could pick it up or leave it or whatever like that. Right now, you need to have the Wear I Go GPS device, which right now only the Colorado has it, or I think it has the handheld PDA. I can't remember what platform it was on. Do you
well?
Recall
it's on
right
Pocket PC.
Pocket PC. Okay.
Right.
And the website, if you guys want to go check it out, is whereigo.com. WHERIGO.com. And the cool thing about it is real-world people can create these, what they call cartridges. So it's not like just built into your GPS where you can't modify it and stuff like that. I would assume it's kind of like the games on the GPS 60 and 76 map CSX, where they have the nibbles and all those other games that you can play. I'm assuming it's kind of like that. I don't know how much I'd actually use this Wear I Go, because for me, it kind of sounds like I would have to be in a fairly open... I feel like I'd be walking around and talking to myself, and I don't know how comfortable I'd be with that, like where I'd just kind of be wandering around. I guess it's kind of like geocaching, though. So we'll see. I'd like to get my hands on it and try it out sometime. When you get your Colorado, we'll have to have you try it out.
Yeah, well, and my friend's also getting a Colorado, so we're going to be trying the wireless transfers and that kind of stuff, fairly early on. And I'm going to try to do a nice little review right afterward, and probably even a little video for Ice and Rye. So I'll be busy once that thing arrives. But they are going to be doing some Where I Go launch parties, essentially. I think the first one is in Seattle, and I think there was another one down the West Coast. And fortunately, I didn't bother doing too much research on this before we recorded, which I probably should have. But looking for more cities to do it in, so I believe you can go and nominate your city at the Where I Go site.
Okay. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about next-generation GPSRs. We're seeing significant changes in outdoor receivers with new functions and improved interfaces, like the Colorado line versus the Magellan Triton line versus the Bushnell Onyx line. So we're going to kind of take those and break those down versus the stats, so we can kind of see so you can kind of get a good idea of what devices offer what and what's the best device for your money. Daryl, do you want to talk a little bit about the Bushnell?
Sure. Bushnell came out with what I really think was the first of the next generation units, with the Onyx 200. And that was the one that supported the satellite images. First one we saw that did that, and they have it in color and black and white, and those started at $199.99. Then a little while ago, they released the Onyx 400, which is their high-end unit, at $529.99. And that one has a really cool feature called XM Weather, and that is, you know, the XM radio service that we're used to from, you know, music and sports. And you can actually listen to those and get live radar feeds on that device at the same time. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Did you want to go over the Magellan units, that new Triton line?
Sure. Yeah, their next in line is their Triton line. The budget is on their high end from about $129.99 to $599.99. So it's about the same as the Onyx line. There's a new design and interface for it. It's got better mapping. And then it also includes options like the voice recorder, touchscreen, camera, and flashlight. So it's a little bit more like a Swiss Army knife kind of a thing, because it's got those extra things like a touch, like cameras and flashlights and voice recorders, things that you might use in the field while geocaching. And now we've touched briefly on the Garmin Colorado, so I won't go into much there. But all of these units use USB only as their connection to the computer. Let's go ahead and compare some of the top models and their features. Daryl, do you want to start us off with the suggested retail price for all three units?
Sure. Actually, before I do that, I do want to mention, too, that on the lower-end units from Triton, I believe it is, they actually don't even have the USB. So make sure that that's something that it has if you are going to go for those lower-end units. But the price on these higher-end units, and we're going to look at the higher-end units because that's pretty much all that they have in common right now. You know, I'm hoping that the Colorado line comes out with some lower-end units in the future with lower price tags, but right now they're only at the high-end. So we're going to look at the Bushnell Onyx 400, the Garmin Colorado 400, and the Magellan Triton 2000. And the Bushnell is our lowest price unit at $529. List, and I've found prices online, you know, well below that, so, you know, shop around. The Garmin Colorado 400T is $599, and all the 400s are actually that. Again, shop around. Garmin actually is selling it on their website for a little bit over list. REI, I believe it is selling it at list, and the place I got it from, GPS City, was about $550, I believe it was. So there's even some discounting on that one to start off with. And then the Magellan Triton 2000 is $599.99. And I'm finding that at REI, even, you know, my local store, for $549. So there is already discounting on all of these new units. And you'll be able to find those pricings, you know, wherever you want to go. Andy, do you want to talk about the size of the units?
Sure, I'd love to. The first thing, the Bushnell, the Onyx 400, is 3.1 by 7 by 1.6 inches. The Colorado Garmin Colorado 400T is 2.4 by 5.5 by 1.4, and the Magellan Triton is 2.5 by 5.75 by 1.3. So overall, your units are about the same size. Your Onyx is going to be a little bit bigger, overall, and your the Triton and the Colorado are about are close to the same size. So when you're looking for that, kind of see what size you want, and see if, like I said, the Bushnell Onyx is going to be a little bit higher, but that's it's got more stuff in it. So what about the displace or the weight, Daryl? What do you think about the weight?
Well, we found specs on the weight for everyone with batteries, except Bushnell did not specify that it was with batteries. My guess is because they're using a lithium-ion battery pack that, you know, it's not interchangeable like AA batteries or anything. It's a proprietary pack like your phone would have, that they're including that. And they are by far the heaviest at 11 ounces. The new Colorados come in at, as we said before, 7.3 ounces, and the Triton 2000 is only slightly heavier at 8 ounces. And I might add that I had the Triton 2000 in my hand on Sunday over at the local REI. I did manage to get it to crash, too.
So what you're saying is you may not want to buy that one.
Well, it's a first-generation product, and as I'm sure most of us are aware, anytime you get into a first-generation, first-release product, you run the risk of running into some software bugs that haven't been found and patched yet. Most of the time, those are patched. You know, I did the same thing with my 60CSX. I got one of the early releases, and I had problems with that thing when I got it, too. But, you know, since the most recent round of software updates, I haven't had an ounce of problems with it. And you're going to see the same thing, I'm sure, with any of the problems that you see on any of these three units right now, is that they're going to patch them. They're going to make it work right. You just might have to live with some inconvenience for a while.
Okay. Now, I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about the display size on each of them. The Bushnell Onyx is by far the biggest one. The display size on that is 3.5 inches. On the Colorado Garmin, the Garmin Colorado, it's 3 inches. And the Magellan Triton is 2.7. So, again, the Bushnell is the biggest display size. But you're also going to have a bigger unit overall with that. And the display type is on that Bushnell Onyx is 240 by 320 pixel. And the Colorado is 240 by 400 pixel. And that's a transflective color TFT. And so that is a decent one. I'll talk a little bit about more about that in a second. The Magellan is 240 by 320 pixel, and that's a backlit touchscreen. So the transflective color, though, is where it's lit from the front and the back, correct, Daryl?
Well, actually, it's lit from the sides if you turn on the light. But
gotcha.
Basically, yeah, the whole point of the transflective screen is that it's not backlit. And the great thing about that is when you're outdoors, if you have a backlit screen, you know, until recently, they tended to wash out to the point where you really couldn't see that very well. So the transflective was the solution for that, where it's looking to bounce the light back rather than pass the light through. You know, it's just a quick description of it, obviously. But in order to light those, they have to light them from the side. So it looks gorgeous in daylight. You're not going to find screens that look any better than a transflective at this, you know, at least that I've seen at this point, than the transflectives, because those are just awesome in the sunlight. You get them inside where you have controlled lighting situations, and you know they do suffer a little bit on color definition. But for GPS, I really think the transflective is a winner.
All right, you want to talk a little bit about how each GPSR is powered?
Sure. As we mentioned earlier, the Bushnell Onyx 400 has its own lithium-ion pack, which I happen to like those lithium-ion packs because they last forever. This one is rated for 32 hours. Now, I'm sure if you're going to be cranking up the XM, you probably can easily cut that in half. But it's a rechargeable pack. It's only, I want to say, $40-$50 to get a second one. So you got to like that because you're not going to have to carry around a bunch of AA batteries or, you know, recharge them, buy a whole bunch, whatever. You know, I love lithium-ion battery packs. It was my favorite feature about the Rhino 500 series units that we had. The nice thing about the AAs, which is what powers both the new Colorado and the Triton 2000s, are you can get those anywhere. You can carry them around, you can charge them, and they're dirt cheap. You know, you can get rechargeable batteries for $10 for a 4-pack that will certainly last you the 32 hours, because the Colorado is a 15-hour life. Now, the Triton, however, is only a 10-hour life, and that obviously doesn't include things like running the flashlight on that. So when you start running the flashlight, the MP3 player that's built in, I'm sure you're going to see a degradation in that length of time. Now, Andy, do you want to talk about the waterproof and connectivity and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. They're all IPX7 waterproof. They all are USB connectivity. The base memory in the Bushnell Onyx, there is none. There's no base memory in there. The Colorado 400 has got 384 meg, and the Magellan Triton has 20 meg. They have an expansion slot. They all do have expansion slots. The Bushnell Onyx has a micro SD card, and the Garmin, the Colorado one, has an SD card, and the Magellan Triton has an HD SD card. The maps that are included with them... Oh, go ahead.
I do want to mention, too, that we're not 100% positive on the Colorado. It may support HD SD, but they are only currently specifying SD. So it could be, and the whole difference, by the way, between standard SD cards and the HD SD cards is that there's a 2 gigabyte limit. So if you wanted to put a 4 gigabyte card into an SD, it's not going to work. You have to have that HD SD.
Okay. Want to talk a little bit about the maps?
Sure. Now, included in all of these units are some pretty decent maps. The Bushnell Onyx 400 has the North American map, so pretty much all of North America is embedded in the unit. The Colorado 400T, which is the one that we've been talking about, has the topo, but as we mentioned before, there's the nautical maps on the other two, and if you go back to the 300, it still has a North American base map in it as well. Now, the Magellan Triton 2000 has the 48 contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. And all of them can be expanded. You can get a number of different maps. The nice thing with the Bushnells is the Bushnell actually allows you to go online and download those maps, so you don't have to go into the store and buy a CD. And from what I understand, I haven't actually used their site yet, you can buy just the one that you need. But they have the satellite views, which is called the TrueView, and then they also have topo maps. Now, the Garmin has Blue Chart, which is the C model, but they also sell the map separately, so if you wanted to, you can pop in a card, actually. So if you want to get the 400T, use it most of the time and go on your boat, pop in a card with all the Blue Chart maps that you're going to need. Same thing's true of the Inland Lakes. They also have the Lake Master series, the Topo USA 2008, which is what I'm using on my 60 CSX, the US Topo 24K, which are, as I recall, just national parks, but really detailed ones, the City Navigator, and the Metro Guide. On Magellan's side, they have the Blue Nav, which, from what I can tell, is their roughly equivalent version of the Blue Chart, Lakes USA, the Mountain Dynamics Snow Ranger, which is a skiing set of maps, and then their version of the topo.
All right, all of these units support 1,000 waypoints, so you can load approximately 2 of the pocket queries, or however much you want to filter, but only 1,000 waypoints on all 3 of the units. The compass on the Bushnell is a digital compass. On the Colorado, it's electronic. And on the Magellan Triton, it's electronic 3-axis. Now, they all have a geocaching mode, but the Garmin Colorado is where it's the one that's going to way step up on this, because it's got that paperless where you have all sorts of information as far as your ratings and your star and your hints and stuff like that. So that's where that unit really shines in the category of geocaching mode. They all have different special features. The Bushnell has XM radio and weather. The Garmin, the Colorado, has a wireless transfer between the units, a picture viewer, the where I go, optional speed and cadence, an optional heart rate monitor. The Magellan Triton has a flashlight, a 2-megapixel camera, an MP3 player, and a voice recorder. So again, for me and what I see right here, the Colorado really steps up because you have, you know, your transfer.
I think we lost Andy. All right. Well, continue on a little bit. Now, before we go too far, I do want to mention that that 3-axis compass that Magellan is using is really, really nice. That gives you the ability to basically hold the unit any way you want and have the electronic compass continue to function properly. And the difference between the digital and the electronic compass is the digital compass only moves when you move with the unit. The electronic compass only works pretty much anytime you like. And then all of these are available within a few months. The Magellan and the Bushnell are both available now. The Colorado, we hope, will be available by February, but they've promised first quarter 2008. So that was a pretty good summary of what we've got there. I don't know where Andy went right now. Oh, he totally vanished now. But if any of you have questions about any of the units, I could probably answer them. Just type them in since I can't unmute anyone.
I'm having issues with my network tonight. It all of a sudden says that I can no longer connect. My network cable's unplugged and all sorts of weird things like that.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. If anyone has any questions, go ahead and, while I'm trying to reconnect, go ahead and type them in so Daryl can ask them. Sorry about this. This is really kind of informal, I guess, because I wasn't expecting my network. So anyone who has any questions, go ahead and type them in for Daryl. Daryl, do you want to talk a little bit about your I know we were going to go ahead and talk about a little bit about the our first caches of the year. Any ones that you hit specifically so far?
Well, you know what? I haven't hit a single cache this year, and I had really hoped to do one before this show. But I was able to hide a few caches at the end of last year that we didn't publish most of them until this year. So we've had two or three, I think it is, caches published this year. Have you had a chance to get out yet?
I haven't, actually. I've been really jonesing to get out and do that because I haven't been able to. We're going to open up the phone lines here, guys, in a few minutes. We're going to talk about caching resolutions. So if anyone has any caching resolutions for this year they want to talk about, go ahead and when I unmute everybody, just go ahead and say what your caching resolution for this year is. Mine, I made a commitment to go ahead and actually try to get 100 caches this year. My resolution this year was 200 caches because I almost got 100 last year. So we're going for 200 this year. And I think I can really do it. Daryl, any resolutions you have?
Well, my big resolution is going to be to get better about logging, especially now that Dre and I have merged our accounts. I'm the official logger, so... Yeah, I kind of let it lax a little bit the last couple of months here. I've got to get on top of that.
Yeah, all right. I've got everyone unmuted. If anyone wants to say their resolution, go ahead and say it right now. And if not, that'll be our show for today. Anyone have any resolutions, caching resolutions for this year?
No, mine's just find more caches.
I actually want to hide some more caches. I haven't been very good about that.
All right, PK Dad, do you have any resolutions this year?
Yeah, this is PK Dad 1. I'm going to probably hide caches this year. I, relative newbie, I had 130 under my belt and coming up on my year anniversary this February. So I wanted to learn how to cache, and now it's time to hide some.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, everybody, for your caching resolutions. I want to remind everybody that our website is geocachingpodcast.info. I want to thank everybody for their support with the spreading the word about this podcast and also your financial support.
via the PayPal donations on our website. Thank you, everybody, for all that you do for this podcast. We really enjoy producing it, and we really enjoy that. And thank you for spreading the word about this podcast and helping us out. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week. And next week, we will be talking a little bit more about event caches, what you can kind of expect as a attendee. And hopefully next week, our talk show will get a little bit more of the things ironed out. So make sure you can join us, because next week, just go ahead, and when it's 9 o'clock at Eastern Standard Time, all you have to do is click on geocachingpodcast.info, and you get connected with us. So thanks, everybody, for joining us, and go ahead and go get your caches next week.